so unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
I want to try and describe America for possible international listeners. The ideas of American exceptionalism quickly dropped off in the past couple decades, and everything's kind of boiled down to cheeseburgers and guns. And as fun as both of those things are, they really do describe life in America better than liberty and freedom or the crazy media depictions of America in other countries. I had the pleasure of once taking a Turkish woman out on some dates, and she hadn't been in America for 3 weeks. And after discovering she hadn't been to Walmart yet, I quickly jumped at the idea of taking her there on a date, which she was actually very excited for. As crazy as it sounds, it was incredibly fun, and I felt kind of like an American emissary or maybe like a tour guide at a zoo. Of course, we had the pleasure of people watching, which sometimes there isn't a better place to do that than at Walmart. Now, it's not like she wasn't cultured. I mean, she was from Ankara, so they have plenty of Western-style things there. But the way her face lit up as we walked the food aisles, she knew about Skittles and Pringles for sure, but the rest was all new to her. When we reached the Pringles, she shyly grabbed one can, and I looked at her and grabbed three more for her and told her, grab whatever you want. Everything is free here. Cereals, cookies, chips, drinks, snacks, chocolate, soda, and frozen freaking everything. We walked the clothes aisles and she grabbed everything she could see because it was so cheap. Toys and electronics and everything. We spent at least an hour and a half in there. And she came out, I hope, just knowing America just a little bit better. We continued walking downtown after dropping her stuff off. And of course, I had picked her up in the jacked up 4Runner that I had. And I guess I just never felt more American in my life. What the hell is, you know, how can you describe this country? And where did like the stupefaction happen? You know, it's boiled down like Walmart really is the theater of America. I think like you want to go, you want to find out what it's about. You go there.
It's today's mall.
Yeah.
In many
malls
ways.
Are like gone now.
Yeah. Malls. Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan says America is McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's similar. There's usually a McDonald's in a Walmart.
Exactly.
So it's brought to you fast, quick. Yeah. It's tasty. It's really bad for you in the long term.
Yeah.
I can see that.
But you do remember the propaganda, you know, of like American exceptionalism, you know, everything, you know, everybody's rich.
Sure. The city on the hill.
The city on the hill. Yeah. That was Reagan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The American dream was sold big time.
Yeah.
And it's still sold today.
Yeah. But everybody's sleeping.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, like the dream isn't there. And I don't know. I just think it's weird. Like, how would you describe America? I mean, how, you know,
I mean, it's the way I've seen it is it's kind of freedom to a fault a little bit. I mean, that's America. You have enough rope to hang yourself. You have enough rope to pull yourself out of a mess, too. I mean, this is the only country that. You can. I feel like there's not many countries in the world, and nowhere where you have a better chance in America than like not graduating high school and still becoming a millionaire or a billionaire.
Right.
You know. Whereas other countries that maybe have more structured societies, you know, we were talking some a few podcasts ago about China's again politically a communist country. Things are quite structured there. Now you look at Western Europe where it's kind of 50-50. You kind of got this like. Free market socialism, where it's still very much commercialist, very corporate and consumerist, but you also have some kind of social structure. You know, whether you got to be in the military, you got to join a vocational program after high school. There might be some path that you are like more or less required to go down to. We don't have that in the United States. We're like on the other side of that spectrum from China, obviously.
It's just nothing but decadence here. You know, it's decadence.
Yeah,
like you can just chug liquid chocolate. And just chug it down.
You're right. Indulgence in every type of way.
It's like being a kid without parents, you know? I mean, that's like you can do whatever you want, even if it's bad for you. And I guess that's the, I mean, a perfect, you know, example. What you say is decadence. What's the definition? It's too much of a good thing and not knowing it.
Right.
Know?
Right. Yeah, I think it's in the blood sport type of stuff that we have, you know, like football and fighting, UFC.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's there's a lot of that around the world and
True.
Stuff, but like there's not like it is here, man, the You're way right. that people crowd and watch and pay-per-view and it's just so odd to me. Like, when did the switch really happen? Was it like 80s, 90s? And obviously, I think the biggest part of all of this, which is almost sounding naive until I say it, is all like corporate stuff, you know, like marketing and all this. I mean, we've been sold the cheeseburger. So now that's what America is, when before it had nothing to do with that, you
True.
Know? Like,
we're talking
I think
about
it's
globalization
all,
kind of.
No, I'm talking about like I guess it'd be like nationalism a little bit. I don't know. Like, I just think it's all marketing and advertising. And like now we're seeing it harder than ever with like our news and all this. We talked about clickbaity stuff on the last one. That's a perfect representation of America, I think. And I think things have just been like sold to us.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
there's a quite a few like historical influencers there. And for one, the idea that it was just like Puritans and the oppressed religions that founded the United States is that it's a convenient tale, but it's not a very accurate one. It was a lot of people. I mean, the founding of America was based before it was even America, when folks left the Netherlands and left Britain. They came over here for business, for enterprise and opportunity, yeah. to open up new markets and create colonies and sell goods. You know, that is almost from our founding. America was founded on commercialism,
yeah,
free,
yeah.
on free market ideas,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe the shift happened. I wouldn't doubt if it coincided, and I very much believe that shift towards even that consumerism almost being our religion coincided with the decline of manufacturing in this country. You know, when we became less of a country of making things and more of a country of buying
right.
things.
Right.
You know. That's how I've kind of seen it for a long time now, is that we've shifted more and more of our manufacturing overseas. Then again, you have less factory jobs, which means our workforce was absorbed, kind of as we were talking a few podcasts back, by the service industry, which is all tailored around selling you things and
right.
you buying things. And
tourism.
Again, with yeah. that, you know, comes an extraordinary amount of a new shift, a new emphasis on marketing, you know,
right.
and really consumerism, you know.
And all of a sudden, I mean, you know, marketing is now even a bigger Mad Men kind of, you know, made it look really pretty. That is like the start, if you will, of that market. But it's only grown. People
yeah.
make living off of quote unquote marketing more now than ever.
Right.
Living
yeah.
at home, you know, selling their Etsy
right,
or whatever,
right, right.
whatever it is, you
yeah.
know, and that marketing's crazy.
We would watch these. If you're a fan of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, I don't know, you know, they started after that show was done, they started doing the riff tracks, which is where they just release DVDs of them doing the same thing. Do you know about that? It's where they'll watch the Mystery Science is where they'll watch the old movie, but then they'll comment on it.
Right.
And like,
yes.
Very funny. And now
a little silhouette of them.
Silhouette. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes. I know
yeah.
exactly what you're talking
Well,
about.
They kind of continued that, but they started taking like these old commercials. Mm. And I remember there was one that was like the American woman, you know, and it was all about like her shopping and this and that. Or they'll play commercials like from back then.
Yeah.
You know, that's another big one. Like, I remember there was one with like makeup or something like, and even just the makeup and stuff, it was all like the lady had to like cut the makeup herself, like it had pure makeup and had to cut it and mix it and do this and that and weigh it and everything was perfect. And it's not like that now. So it's everything sold in this convenient little thing packaged
right.
for you. And I don't know. It's all just, I'm thinking, I guess, more of like the idea of America from an outsider. Like, I was recently talking on the phone with a Canadian person who's listened a little bit, and she was saying, like, oh, I'm not sure I could ever live in America. I mean, it's scary,
Oh, it's, really?
And this and that. And you know, everybody's armed and this stuff. And it was like, well, yeah, but it's not life here. Like, yeah. York,
it's not the
crazy,
Wild West.
It's not. Yeah.
You people aren't drawn down on each other in the street.
In fact, sometimes it feels a little safer because everybody's really nice to each other. Like, ah, hello, armed person. Yes, I'm armed as well.
We're armed. And that's,
we are armed.
We can still exchange pleasantries and pass each other.
Yes.
Like here in the South, I mean, you have to just expect everyone you talk to is carrying a loaded weapon.
Yeah.
You know? And again, like home residential burglaries are on the decline because, again, nobody wants to break into a house, you know, if they know that they're of a very good likelihood they're going to get shot down while
stealing
doing
a Blu-ray player.
Yeah,
it's not worth it. My life is not worth a TV.
It's not.
And plus, it's America. A TV is like $100.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't need to break into somebody's house.
For sure. Everything is so cheap here, too. Yep. Like, it's crazy. I mean, even just going up north to Canada, like, TVs. Everything is more expensive there. I don't know if it's like just more taxes. Or
I was going to say, is it luxury of life things? Probably not as much necessity of life, but luxury of life things, right? That is more expensive.
Yeah. I would say
robust tariff agreements with other countries too.
Right.
You know, it's that probably, maybe produce the stuff. You know, that again, a place like Canada is not going to have the international clout or might to be able to enforce the most beneficiary free market or free trade deals. You know,
right. I'm definitely not an economist. Don't look into that at
all. He's the closest. So Lindley is the closest.
That's true.
To one.
That's scary,
that's
bros. Promise.
But you know, would I
just want to give my money to him?
Yes. Would I be wrong in thinking that maybe things are more expensive in Canada as well? Because you know, here in America, we're unburdened by having the government pay for healthcare,
right,
and prison systems and
more
know, all
extensive
kinds of stuff.
Social welfare systems,
right. Like taxes are crazy up there,
yeah.
But all of that is taken care of. So maybe when you buy a TV up there, it's more expensive and the taxes are crazy. But that's because they're so burdened also by those social structures,
right?
As
I say,
that here we're relieved of that.
But healthcare costs a fortune.
Yeah,
you know, like I mean, let's say you retire with $250,000 worth of savings, one medical procedure can wipe that out.
Yeah.
You know, in this country. That's what we had. Our parents were recently talking about. Oh, one of the things they were considered doing was maybe moving to the United States, and my like knee jerk reaction to it was just like. Like I don't know how excited I would be just for the simple. I'd love to have them down, but for the simple fact that man, healthcare costs so much. You're coming from a place where you don't have to pay us. Like there's no like out of pocket costs. You know,
right.
The taxes obviously support it.
Right.
But they come down here. You know, they might have what amounts to a really great savings amount in Canada, but again, would be wiped out by a few medical incidences in this country.
But you can factor in good healthcare here.
Yes.
You know, it is expensive and whatnot, but if you get the good stuff, you'll be taken care of, you know. And
but that costs a lot of money.
It does. But
and the older you are, the more it costs, too.
Yes. But I wonder how close it is to evening out, though, considering how much taxes they pay up there. I mean, it is crazy.
Depends
it's
on how
lot.
Much you smoke or drink.
Yeah,
probably.
That's a big. The excise probably. Taxes are a big part of it. You know, you pay for bad habits in Canada.
Right.
You know, whereas here you more or less can kind of get away. I mean, cigarettes are still even here $8 a pack or something. I mean, that's free almost.
Yeah.
You know, compared to Canada. You know,
where it's 20 and over.
Yeah.
You know, for the
Man.
Cheap
and you, and their cigarettes are terrible. It's like smoking a forest fire.
Yeah, they're very strong.
Yeah,
they're very very strong. Yeah,
and no menthols up there now.
Yeah,
too.
What?
Yeah, because that's too. That's too attractive to the children.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Golly.
And the liquor, man. Like or beer, like a case of beer, just 24-pack is well over $40. Like just Budweiser is like $43 or something like that for 24 beers.
Unless you're Native American.
Right.
Then you do have those taxes, you know, you get a bottle of Screech Owl whiskey for like $10 or something. And yeah, let's take the taxes away from the folks who haven't been drinking alcohol for 10,000 years.
Right. Right. And they also have the cigarettes there too. Like you get like I have a friend who goes to the reservations and buys cartons of cigarettes because they're so cheap. They're like cheaper than smokes in America.
They're like pretty much at cost, which again, I mean, if we bought cigarettes at cost in the United States, it'd be way cheaper. Because
like $2.30.
It costs nothing to make a pack of cigarettes, you know. It's just the taxes that are on it.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And should we have more on them?
More taxes?
I mean, probably,
sure,
right?
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree. You know, but
as a non-smoker, it's easy for me to say.
Yeah, as a smoker, I would say definitely increase the taxes on them.
But I can also remember as a smoker back in the day saying the words, I'll never pay $5 a pack. Yeah,
right.
And then having to pay them. You know what I mean?
Like now it's like 10. And,
yeah, yeah. Now I'm thinking 10. Like once it reaches 10, I'm done. But
yeah, then
I'm
it's
also
like 15. Yeah. Okay, that's yeah. $50 a pack is where I stop.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And maybe not even then. Like you just might ration them better.
I was going to say, let's say something sweeping. You know, legislation, whatever, does it puts a $20 tax on your pack of smokes. So now yours is $25 for $30. $30 for a pack of smokes. Do you try to quit instantly, or do you then just ration your cigarettes, or you just say frick it and let's see how much it actually is going to cost me to smoke what I smoke right now?
I don't know.
Get a second job.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about $20 packs of smokes just seems so un-American to me at the same time. Like, I agree with it, but that's another thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Not only do I want you to describe America or what it's... I want you guys to agree with me that it's like the greatest country in the world to live in.
Oh my gosh.
It's and that's not me being like, it's because of liberty and freedom.
What about tourist attraction countries? Like where you could actually live in the tourist area. What about that? I mean,
like other countries, going to France or something?
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to live in France.
That's what my dad was down recently, and I was born in Germany. You were born in Arkansas, so you're like American through and through. But I was born there, and he was talking like, well, if I'd done some things different, you know, still be in Germany right now. I'm like, thank goodness I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been back, and you know, and realized I've been back as an adult and realized not the place I want to live. I mean, it's fine for them. It's probably fine. Again, you're a product of your environment. You probably ask a average German, would you want to live in America? They're like, oh God, no, nine. But that's ignorance is what that is. They just don't know better. And that's fine. I'll pat them on their head. Okay, that's cute, Hans. Maybe you don't want to live over here, but that's just because you're dumb. Okay.
Just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Ignorant is being fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that freedom,
you don't
though?
Know better.
Is it the freedom specifically, or is there specific things?
See, that's the thing. I don't want it to come off like I have truck nuts on my vehicle.
I love and hate those at the same time, though. Yeah, can I say that?
Yes. That's America.
I would never sport those, but those are freaking hilarious when they
You're
drive down the road.
You're free to do the dumb decisions that you want. No, it's not freedom and liberty and the flag, and I don't cry at the stupid national anthem. I don't do any of that.
We play it every morning at 6 a.m., and we don't stop and pay any kind of reverence.
I do
we
not.
We keep doing what we're doing.
We'll turn it down for a good
exactly.
joke.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it has nothing to
it
do with
It has nothing
any
to
of
do
that.
With the fact that we're not... that we don't love our country, though.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I love my country, and maybe for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I'm patriotic.
Burgers and beer, baby.
That's what it is, man. That really is a better depiction of life here than liberty and freedom.
Yeah, or, justice and all that, yeah.
Yeah, or like other people watching another country like, ooh, I don't want to be living there, watching the Capitol riot. It's like, hey, that's a couple bad apples.
Yeah.
Look at what we're doing right now. That's not life here.
If you're watching the major news right now from another country, I could see why you'd hate this. Whoa, I don't want to go there, you know? Because you don't see what happens in Duquesne, Arkansas, you know, small town USA, you know what I'm saying?
Or it could be big city. Like, you know, come and live for a month. And we'll see if you want to go back.
Okay,
like,
in America,
and have somebody really show you it.
You try to storm the Capitol in America, and most people are just going to get a slap on the wrist for it. You know, try that in Congo,
you'll die.
And you will be beheaded in front of crowds of people. You know,
try it in Beijing.
Yeah,
I mean, they had riots.
Just disappear. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So
here you get bacon.
Yeah.
You get have bacon over wrapped around just about anything that you want.
Here you get GoFundMe accounts created for you. Whole Facebook pages created in your support.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For something dumb you did.
Exactly.
I mean, it's freedom for good and bad. And honestly, I just couldn't imagine it any other way.
Yeah.
You know, because I definitely take advantage of my freedom in ways that are helpful for maybe society in general. But I enjoy my freedoms in plenty of other ways that do not help in a single living organism on this planet except myself.
Right.
But and your pleasure. Right.
And
gotcha.
There's absolutely no repercussions. I mean, except for the fact maybe I'll live a little. I won't live as long or something. Yeah. I mean, that's my own doing.
But
you're
living more while you're living short.
Exactly. Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things like vehicles, man, like it's cheap, locally sourced parts and service and stuff. Like, like, name one thing that America doesn't do better than everywhere else when it comes to, like, and we're a service country. It's all about service.
Cell phones.
What's that? Oh, cell phones.
We don't do cell phones better than other countries. No, I'm just kidding. No? Making them. I was just talking about making. I don't know. I really don't know if
we're we don't make nothing.
We don't. Yeah, we don't manufacture it, but we do supply the demand that makes them better and better every year. You know, I mean, it's a we are the market.
Behind China and India, we are the. We're the third largest, top three in almost everything.
Sure, people in the Samsung and foreign companies, they don't make stuff for Korea. They don't make stuff for Vietnam or South Africa. They make it for the United States. And guess what? If the United States likes it, it's going to be fine for the rest of the world.
Down. The only time the trickle down actually works.
I love it.
But
Reaganomics,
like,
baby.
Yeah, you get to have an app that you just order bacon right into your mouth. Like, it just, GoDash or whatever, or go, what is it?
DoorDash.
Yep. Mm. You can
Uber Eats and stuff.
Uber Eats. Yep. And bring it over, place it directly into my mouth. You know, I don't do that. I don't even really eat bacon, but like, just that's what it is like here.
The ability to do that.
And they didn't make that for Canada or Mexico or Sweden. You know, that's, you're absolutely right. The demand is what we make. You know, we don't actually manufacture it. We're kind of like the asshole boss who's just like, get this done, and doesn't ever contribute at all.
Yeah.
And the rest of the countries are all the workers who actually supply us with it.
Yeah, we manufacture demand.
We want it, and y'all fix it.
But at the same time, that demand that we've created has also lifted millions, if not billions, of people out of poverty across the world, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Nike...
So I was going to say, that's the positive side of consumerism
absolutely. You know, of course, I mean, you look at the cons, you know, environmental degradation and
child factory workers.
Yes, you know, I mean.
But they had no job before. No,
but man, that is such a good point. And I've argued this with people before. They're like, you know, well, all these factories that we open up overseas, you know, have worse living or worse labor standards than we do in the United States. Look, half of China's population was literally starving in the fields. They couldn't grow enough food to eat every day. Yeah. You know, now they actually working in factories and making money and building their society into a middle class country.
Bringing home 32 cents a day actually pays them for a week.
Yeah.
You know, it lets them eat for a week. Yeah.
Yeah. You grow like a few radishes a day, you're going
to
die.
Yeah. Sounds like crap to us. We could never live off that, but that is living wages, quote unquote.
Yeah. I don't know. Poor here is very different than poor at other places. Like, poor here, you can still have the nicest truck right out in your front yard. You still have Wi-Fi. You still have cable.
Probably got an Xbox.
Xbox.
One or Live.
Yeah. And be poor. Living paycheck to paycheck for sure. Like one crippling thing could put you out, but you still can. You can get like the Whopper's 50 cents today, and like, you know, or
and then,
you know,
that one crippling thing happens. They realize they have about $3,200 worth of equity in their car, and they refinance it and make it happen. You know, we still all make it happen.
You can really make it happen here.
Yeah,
like you can be just at the bottom pond scum and still. You eating.
Yeah.
Your kids eating. And the more kids, let's just have kids. That's a good way to get some income here.
I don't think people starve to death in the United States. And I mean, I'm sure it happens from time to time, but.
You're right, though. But if a child, let's start with children because they're the ones that really can't speak for themselves. A child, if school or, you know, somebody, another parent notices the child is skinny to the point of not eating, malnutrition, they have to call.
That's right.
Somebody.
And then there's a service that comes out and can help in some regard. Am I wrong in thinking from some dumb statistic from somewhere that the most obese people in America are the poorest?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's because
bad eating habits.
You do eat bad when it's cheap.
Exactly. I was going to say it's cheaper too, though.
Yeah. It costs a lot to eat well.
It costs a lot to eat well.
So she said it better, though.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Both sides of the coin.
I'm not saying that's a good thing, but again, that's life here.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you can't be thinking that, oh, look at the poverty line and just assume that everybody's starving. No. They're just being force fed shit.
Yeah.
Just absolute garbage, and that's all you can absolutely afford.
You know, and a lot of folks internationally and some here in this country, too, will throw shade on us by saying that, well, this is only made possible in the United States through your military's involvement in the rest of the world, which is bullshit, except unless you live in the Middle East, okay?
Right.
If you live in the Middle East, you certainly have a lot of reasons that you can dislike the American military, you know? But everywhere else, we're not. I mean, the folks in Europe that want to, again, throw shade on America and our status as the number one power in the world, Europe, the only reason that you ain't speaking Russian and voting for this communist guy or that communist guy is the United States.
Right. And I don't know. Again, we've talked about it before. You can almost respect sometimes a little bit of like stuff that comes out of the Middle East, like the hatred for America, because they hate the decadent lifestyle and they want to keep it. But again, like they know. If I just plucked a Taliban guy out of my house and brought him into my house and was like, you're going to live here for a month and you're not going to, you know, put away the AK, get your fork and knife ready, and we're about to be doing it, like, out of, they would come out being like, I'm never leaving this place.
Right.
And I can respect the fact that they hate that and don't want to be tempted by it. That's the thing. And, you know, that's what like a hijab is for, right? You cover the woman so that the man doesn't get lustful and lust after them. So it's kind of like still the man's fault, right?
Totally.
They want to put
it's the woman's fault.
Or it's,
yeah, it's still the woman's fault. Yeah,
it's the woman's fault, no, but it's really, you know.
Yeah, right.
But they want to put America in a hijab, I think, so that they don't even have to look at cheeseburgers.
Right. That's a good point.
And this and that.
Hide the temptation.
Yeah. So I can actually respect that a little bit.
But there's parts of the Middle East that, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still paying them, you know, premium monies for their oil coming over here.
Right.
So, and there's parts of them that love the lavish lifestyle, especially what, Saudi Arabia? Is that the most lavish of
like
them
the
all?
Bin Laden. Sure,
yeah. But still want other people not to have their lavish.
Right.
What is lavish to them?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
It's definitely a...
they want to keep some people in caves, but also be able to enjoy what they want at the same time.
True. Have like a 90-inch TV in that cave.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's like when it just comes to internet, like cable, food, media, our news, everything's just, it's just it's delicious, all of it. Like it's quickly consumed and this and that. And like, I'm not saying I agree with it, that I want it to be that way, that I'm happy or that I wouldn't want some changes, but... You've got to understand. You got to come and live here before you can just say, "Oh, America's crazy."
I agree.
America's, you know, I would not want to even be close. It's like, man, you're gonna, and especially, like, you're white. You'll be fine. Trust me.
And I think, as someone that thoroughly enjoys vacationing in other countries, I think I would love to spend 6 months in another country. So I could see the actual lifestyle of a day-to-day.
Right.
Versus the just not having to do nothing, enjoying the beach and, you know, whatever you do on vacay. Going and seeing the pretty structures in the mountains or, you know, whatever it is. I'd love to live in another country. And there's many countries I would, if I had the choice of.
But there's no country you could live in for 6 months and not be excited to come back to America.
Really? Now that's awesome.
Mm. I don't think there's ones where you could forget about America for a little while.
Right.
Maybe it's
Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
Yeah.
I forget about it.
America's the drunken booty call that you're always going to, you should be, if you're living in Cabo, like, you know, you're texting America at 2 a.m, like, you up?
That's hilarious.
I miss you.
I mean, I'm not going to argue because I've known people that owned a bar in Cabo from the United States and loved their bar, but they ended up moving back to the States. You know what I mean? And I think it was probably grandchildren for them specifically that lured them back ultimately.
Right.
But there was definitely, when you talk to them, because I talked to them a couple of nights, you know, when I was staying, when the wife and I were at Cabo, and they definitely had a love for the area they were in now and the bar. And their life now was awesome.
Right.
But there were things that they missed about, like, they were talking about their boat.
Right.
They missed owning their, just being able to jump in their, you know, on their Sea-Doos and go.
Yeah.
You know, so there were things that they'd missed about
but
the
But then you
United
moved
States.
To Miami.
There you go. Or back, like, I think it was Southern California they're from. But yeah, okay, same thing. Yeah.
And we were talking about Siberia on the radio show yesterday, how like gardening is not a hobby there. Like, they take it very seriously.
Oh, really? In Siberia?
In Siberia. Like, in, what was it?
I'm sorry, yeah, about some people that live in Tomsk. Which is near Novosibirsk.
Right. Right. And not that it's like, oh, my God, they absolutely need to rely on their garden, but they kind of do. Like, they rely on the garden.
Yeah. You can't always rely on the grocery stores to be in, stocked full of stuff.
You get to garden as a hobby here. And if you don't, if you don't give a crap about it, you'll never have to worry about it ever, ever.
And so, the fact that you can even garden here. I mean, I've heard from folks that, from what I understand, this is a Mexican law in Mexico. Like, you don't own anything that's more than like a few inches into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, United States, like the piece of property I own, I guess I own it as far down as I can dig until I get to the Earth's core. Rights.
You own the mineral rights too? Because they usually don't sell those on a normal real estate transaction. You normally don't get the mineral rights. You have to add those to, because law does mineral rights reads as well as your average.
So what does
I don't
that
know
entail,
that for a
though?
Fact for Arkansas.
Okay.
So like you may,
they could come and just take the minerals out of your ground?
No, could probably mine it in some way without, they may have I doubt that there's a quote unquote easement on your property for it.
Right.
But they may be able to say, well, we can mine it via fracking or which is sideways drilling. Gotcha. So what they'd do, they'd say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
They'd call your neighbor and they'd be like, well, we'll offer you $5,000 instead of your neighbor.
Yeah, okay, but there might still be some compensation or something involved.
Totally.
Okay.
So what if you were trying to dig a garden bed in your backyard and you all of a sudden hit like a gold vein or something?
I would just start mining it immediately, not tell a word.
Right.
If you hit an oil spout or, you know, if you hit one of those gushers, what I like to say, it's going to be harder to hide.
Yeah, you probably need some technical assistance.
Yeah, and it's going to be harder. You're just not going to have jars of oil all over the place.
Yeah, what you building there, Derek's?
No, a broadcast tower. What? Yeah.
My hobby now is oil refining. Yeah. And
it's just a hobby.
Yeah,
just testing it out.
I mean, I'm gonna have to look that up now because I want to know the truth. But
sure.
I know there are lots of detail and lots of things, especially in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is an oil rights company too, or not company, but a area. They do a lot of oil rights placed stuff. Right. People have a lot of rights to the underground.
Gotcha. There.
But you own every blade of grass.
Yes.
Every leaf. Every,
and like you said,
everything.
Plenty of dirt too.
Plenty of dirt.
Yeah, you got plenty of dirt.
That's all land is, really, is dirt.
Yeah, those folks who are like, how can you own a rock? this is how,
trust
okay?
me. It's on my property.
Exactly.
Like,
even though I illegally brought it from the lake.
Yeah. Right, no? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of what you like, Patrick. Because Patrick does not indulge, I don't think, into the decadence of America. I don't think you do that too much.
Yes, he does. But,
he
loves his guns and his four-wheel drives and his ability to go camp when he
wants
to.
I guess
I drive a vehicle that's a mobile EPA violation. You know, I definitely have guns that I could use to overthrow the government if I wanted to, needed to. I guess. And
I guess I was using decadence like you're not chugging the liquid chocolate full of bacon. Like you're not doing that, but. You garden. That's what you one thing you love, and it's a hobby. It's not something you absolutely rely on. Mm. You got the big truck. You can go forward. You got guns. Like all the stuff that you like. It can only happen here.
Yeah, we enjoy a brewski and a frozen pizza on occasion.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean.
That's decadent.
That's decadence.
And of course you can have a frozen pizza and a brewski in Canada. It's just different. It's not the same. It's not an American soil.
I love it. And the brewski's gonna cost more.
Yes, they are.
And so we certainly, America is so awesome that we could like tone it back just a notch or two at times.
Funny.
It's at 11 always.
And to me, it's like the most decadent, to me, the worst part of our decadence sometimes is just like in our media and sometimes our social trends and stuff. The fact like somebody like Gorilla Glue Girl, you know, can make thousands of dollars on YouTube, on TikTok, and GoFundMe and stuff. Kim Kardashian, the fact that she's only famous because she has a fake ass, you know? Yeah. I mean, these are the things that no doubt other countries highlight about America because they're like, you know, we're not America. It's kind of sucks over here, but do you want to be like this? Those are the type of things that make other countries look better.
Right.
True.
Governments and their media use that to make their own societies look better at our expense.
Our politics, I think that's a big one. I mean, life must be pretty good for you if a main button issue for you is like transgender reassignment reassignment surgery for inmates.
But we can't even appreciate it, you know? We think like, there's so many people that think our society is just tearing itself apart. And maybe it is, but at the same time, we have it extremely good right now. Like you said, the fact that we can argue things like that is a sign that we're not having to argue about, too many other huge issues.
We all got our heads. They're not lopping them off today.
Right. We're not, millions aren't starving in the fields and stuff. You know?
You're getting to listen to something that we got to create because our government allows it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we could say whatever we want right here. Well, there's a few things I think that would.
Well, we stay away from things that would turn off the listener.
Yeah, the listener.
And would also turn off all advertisers.
Right.
I mean, we don't want to tell everybody to, you know,
but we
kick
could
rocks.
Say it, and that's the thing about the First Amendment. It doesn't protect you from consequences. It just means that you can say it, and that you're not going to be disappeared for it.
Right.
But are you going to lose your job, your friends, your listeners, your base, your family? Be alone forever and shoot yourself into the face? That might happen.
Yeah.
But you didn't get disappeared by the government.
Exactly.
And I think that's the best part.
See? That's funny.
I said, we have enough slack in this country. We can hang ourselves if we want to.
The way you put that is, I think, awesome.
Yeah, I agree. America's like the middle child, if you will.
Yeah.
You got Mexico and you got Canada. I don't know which one's older or younger. But, the middle child, they're always complaining about, they get more. They're the favorite. Yeah. You know, I'm the middle child. And we're like the grown-up middle child now. Now I'm getting to do whatever the hell I want to do, baby. Because nobody loved me. I didn't get to do nothing.
Yeah,
I would say
Canada's the firstborn, not in age, just like in the way that works. Like, you know, Mexico's young as well.
True.
True. And acting out. And Canada is fairly stable, and a little boring.
Yeah.
So they go middle-aged under the radar a little bit, and then then you get to scan across North America, and you don't even really. Might not even see America, what's going on in there. Yeah, I don't know. I love it, man. I love America. Mm-hmm. And
I wouldn't live in any other place permanently.
If America's cheeseburgers and guns, man, so be it. That's what I'm saying.
And I mean, and no doubt, probably the biggest societal issue we really need to be focused on is we do have extreme racial disparities in this country. But who doesn't? Again, as we've mentioned before, this is just a big, giant experiment.
Yeah.
America is a multicultural democracy. You know, it's yes, there can be racial disparities, especially when it comes to like policing, but we can also have a black president. We can have a black, half black, half South Asian vice president.
Right.
We can have the guy who's over the entire military right now is a black guy.
Right.
You know, so there's opportunities there. Obviously, we're not all on an equal playing field, and we never will be.
We never were. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No matter what country, you're never on an equal playing field.
Communist societies have tried that, and it's never went anywhere. China has racial disparities that they're dealing with, and they're 92% like the same ethnicity, and they still have, racial disparities that they're dealing with. They put them in camps, but.
Right. We jail more than anybody in the earth. Our healthcare is awful. People are dying and becoming just horribly broke because of it. And you like all the main, we're not sitting here being like we're flawless. You know? Again, we have racial disparity. We have an unbelievable amount of people in jail. Healthcare, all of that's just not working. But you don't see it in the drive-thru lane of Burger King. You just don't. Like you get to not partake in all of that. When in other countries, when you see an enormous amount of people jailed, it's probably somebody or if healthcare is so bad and everybody's dying, you're dying of it as well, or you see it in the streets or something like that. America's just too big. It's unwieldy. We don't get to see the problems.
Maybe the American dream is just that. We're just dreaming. This isn't reality. We're trying to create this dream life.
I think it's changed because the dream used to be opportunity, and now it's like you can eat all you want.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
America's the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Exactly.
It's, and get what you can and get in line when you can. And that's the other thing. And especially with one certain party politically, the moment that you have left, have left your mother's vagina, for the last time, I hope.
There's no like rebirth kind of type thing.
Yes, none of that.
Yeah.
You are your own. You have, you know, we don't give a crap about you. You got to get in line, cut line as much as you can, cut in front of as many people as you can, get to the front of the buffet, stuff your face, get your plate, and go and sit down and do it right back all over again. You know, the social net's not there. As well, it kind of is, though. The social net is how cheap everything is and how decadent lifestyle is. And poor is different than poor in other countries. And this, that's the social net, you know, the fact that the poorer you become, you know, just the more Whoppers you'll eat, pretty much. You're not eating, you know, kale's expensive, man. Yeah. It's expensive. Yeah, yeah. A bag of kale is no joke. It's as much as feeding your whole family off of 50-cent corn dog day.
Sure. Freaking,
that's right.
You know,
why are you going to pay like $4 for a little brick of butter when you can pay $1 for just a tub of margarine?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think America's like, it's like anything that you love is that you also have to be willing to call it out when it's not doing something right. You know, like when my wife is burning pizza, I got to let her know, hey, you're burning pizza. Okay. I still love her to death. I'd do anything for her, you know.
But you sound like you're pretty sour about that pizza.
I was going to say, because Tyler and I enjoyed most of that pizza, for the record.
That's true.
It was good stuff.
All the other ones
were
perfect.
Burn the pizza?
All the other ones were perfectly cooked. Me and Jay were just housing on the burnt
black
pizza.
Ones.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. We lifted it up literally black. Yeah. Like,
it was like crumble in your mouth.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I like that. She was like, so what do you think? I should get like two pizzas? And I was like, that's going to be like 20 people there. Like three pizzas? Then I'd probably go with four of like the biggest ones you could find. Yeah.
Right. No, we could talk about your birthday party because that was an interesting thing. So I was too drunk before the party started.
Yeah. You were more soused than I expected when I walked in the door. Right. I was the first one there, yes.
Yeah,
with
I think
Laura
so.
And I
yeah.
What was it? Start like 10:30 in the morning or something?
And pretty much.
Yeah, that's late for a usual day. But
yeah. I was having issues with the podcast getting it uploaded and getting it all ready. Yeah, I was having some bad issues with that. So there was a little bit of self medication going on.
Right.
No, and you know I'm really drunk when I'm quiet and I don't say a thing, and I'm just sitting there like. You know, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher all around me. Womp, 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 womp. And I'm just like, and then somebody's like, really? Like, it's always that. It's an upwards. And I'm like, oh, they're talking to me.
Like,
what are you?
Like, you're such a bad influence, though. I meant to call you out on that. Uh-oh. You know, our dad was like, he was like reliving past memories. What could have been, what should have been and all that. And I was like, You gotta leave these demons buried. What's the point in drawing this all out? And Tyler's like, well, I told him he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes just keep your bullshit to yourself.
That's funny.
I don't think that's true.
Interesting. Yeah, I like
that's
the both.
True. It's most assuredly true, everyone.
I like both of these thoughts. Now, you're talking like childhood issues, things of that nature? Growing up style?
I mean,
not just
for the most part, I guess.
Just reliving mistakes that you made.
Right. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Like, you know, I wish I could have done this better.
It feels good to voice that, Patrick. You should give it a time. Like, it's feelings. I don't know if you ever have one of those before.
No regrets, I guess.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say. You repressed half of your life away.
But nothing bad happened.
I love it.
So yeah, I didn't have to repress it. I just over it.
You got away scot-free is what happened.
Oh, okay.
You know, no repercussions, no kids happened out of your mistakes or anything like that.
Point. Oh, I can see that.
You know,
I've been responsible.
Yeah, well.
Oh, and you haven't been caught on the irresponsible times.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that now.
Yeah, your irresponsible times were of no consequence.
They'll never trace those murders to me.
Exactly. Yes.
My irresponsible times were so long and so drastic that now the thing that used to bug me the most is when family would call and be like, so are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right. You know? I'm super, like, you know, I don't know. I don't
dark
know
times
to say.
Back in the day.
Yeah, you confront. You like to confront the ghosts.
I do.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with your attitude about every season turns.
I don't know. I could see.
Is
Patrick,
he truly repressing it? Completely?
Patrick's the most normal and even keeled, and that scares me.
Until he explodes.
Yeah, who knows?
He's tucking it away too
who
long.
Who knows? He's gonna get a privacy fence one day. He's gonna be looking over, talking to his neighbor. Like, hey, Tim, and he'll walk away. He'll be naked, covered in blood. Like,
You don't think very much of your brother, do you?
No, I think a lot.
Well, I mean, you okay?
Like, yeah, you gotta have a you gotta have a good cry, Patrick. I think.
Well, mentally, are you capable of that?
A cry?
No, the bloody after walking away from the thing.
I don't think so.
Because I think you both are fairly similar in mental strength and aptitude or whatever. That's the right word to use in this moment. But so, I mean, I don't see, I mean, and you talk about some dark times, but you pulled yourself out of them. Yes, no?
Yeah, still am.
You still got some?
Yeah, yeah.
You still got demons you're fighting. We all have demons we're fighting, right?
I'm doing things I should have been doing a long time ago, basically. You know? So it's kind of hard to... You know, I'm doing good, but there was a long time where I wasn't, and I should have been just the way I am now, probably 8 years ago. You know, So not that that's bad. I'm not butthurt about that or sore about it. It's just I guess I end up, I carry a lot of guilt for whatever reason.
You do.
You know, yeah, a lot.
You know
of
what
it.
I mean? I'm saying yes. You do. You blame yourself above and beyond.
Right.
I noticed that. I would do that
before blaming anybody else. You know?
I blame you too, if that helps.
Yeah, so. You do.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're helping me.
It's funny, though, for a lot of people, even though it's not like my I just am the way I am, I guess, right. You know? But you sometimes don't know how you're going to be until that kind of situation, until you're forced to kind of confront some emotions or how you, like, it was... It was a couple of years ago, my dog got hit by a car. I had her around like 8 years, and I was uncontrollable afterwards, like fell to my knees, like crying with her in my arms, you know? And it was like, it was weird, you know? Like, I'd never been like that before. I mean, it was just, I felt like a totally different person. Fortunately, my wife, she was like as strong as can be, like pretty much drug me back to the house, you know? Like, I was inconsolable, you know? And it was just weird. Like, I look back at it, I appreciate it, but I very much, like, I felt better about the release of emotions, but I don't know I had the option at the moment, you know? Right.
So, I think I'm being absurd. I don't think you have anything pent up. That's the thing. Like, you, you know, you just did well, you know. And like, when you do well, luckily you don't get to or you don't have to rely on like a whole bunch of past mistakes and this and that.
And age comes with that too. I think the older you get, the more confidence you get, and absolutely. Confidence is such a bedrock.
That goes into a little bit. I think, I guess the most vulnerable I've ever seen you was like within the year. I don't know if you're okay talking about this, but you lost your job and you were out for about a month, like 1 month.
Almost 2 months, really.
Almost two months. And you had the demeanor of and were saying things that were like, I've never seen Patrick like this. Like, you remember you had some deep... Yeah. Like, kind of things about just internal you know, so that type of stuff can trigger that in a person, you know, especially if you've just been, man, you've been happily married for 9 years and job always been killing, lots of schooling and friends, and you are where you want to be and all that stuff. And then, you know, one little thing kind of get upset, out of jobless for a couple months, and you got to explore that deep end. And I honestly think it was actually good for you. And don't let me give y'all the wrong impression. He wasn't at home, you know, just Cheeto dust all over him. You're still like doing stuff. You're fine, ultimately.
My lawn never looked better.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could take care and that type of stuff. But
which is the difference between a loser and somebody that actually cares for themselves, by the way. You had other things going on in life that you took care of extra special because you didn't have 8 hours of your day taken away from you.
Right.
Where a loser would just mope in his, you know, nothingness and have Cheeto dust. And, you know,
that was me. I was an absolute loser. Like, I was a loser for a long, long time. A total loser. You know, I've said that is not...
That's okay to say.
Yeah, yeah. That's not out of what you say. It's a great word to describe.
But you're not a loser
now. Like, a long chunk... Yeah, I'm not a loser, but, you know...
In that just context, the way we used it.
The way I have loser in me. Inside,
we all do.
We all do, yeah.
Inside every hardworking American is a loser trying to get out.
Begging.
You know, begging to get out, and I would tap in. Dude, if I got fired today or tomorrow, you best believe I would channel my loser for at least a week.
There are loser-esque qualities that you contain that he does not. There are loser-esque qualities that he contains that you do not. There are things he would do that you would never do
Yeah.
Or you have never done and say you would never do. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Mm.
Me too. Vice versa. I mean, I'm not saying that a loser in the sense of you're a loser. But yeah, a loser to me doesn't ever pull themselves back up.
Right.
That's a loser. So you don't really even qualify then because you are now here today.
Dude, it took a long time.
There's no time frame for each individual.
There's no playbooks for really these like difficult moments, like losing your job, being not being able to have a job for a while. I mean, life is so subjective. We're each living our own, have our own reality in our heads, you know. And like one of the things I have to carry around in my head is that I'm not even sure that either one of y'all exist. You know, I can't know that for sure.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess you punch me in the face, I'd have a pretty good idea, but it could still be fake.
Good
you know?
Simulation. That's it could be easy.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it could still be the devil playing a trick on me.
Right.
You know. So I mean, life's so subjective. There's no rule book, no playbook you can go off of. And that's
I think it's all about, like, you know, it's your personality, and your personality can evolve. You know, it's hard for me to think back to the loser times, but to say I wasn't ever one, you know, that'd be like being poor for 8 years and then all of a sudden you got rich, and then you'd be like, well, you were never really poor. You were never really like poor, like a real poor. I was a loser, dude.
Yeah.
You would have met me like 6 years ago.
18
dude,
to 21.
I would have, dude, I looked completely different. I see pictures of myself back and I'm like, oh my God, you know, like just, you know, just bad, dude.
It's like when you accidentally take a selfie of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely had some loser years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So, totally. And like I said, there's a loser in all of us. We can all, like, it's take happiness in that fact.
Well, that's, we've talked about it before, you know, like the Joshua tree in Arizona. That's all, like, you look at it and it's a beautiful tree, but you really look at it, it's all like twisted in the wind. I mean, it grows just barely clinging onto these rocks, you know, and it's whipped by the wind all day long. But it's the brutality of life that gives that thing its beauty, you know? So a person, I feel like, of true character can take the bad experiences in their life and then form them into a more positive experience.
Right.
If anything, it's like that you can't know happiness without sadness.
Yeah, right. The Joshua tree looks beautiful from a little bit of a distance. You get closer and you see the damage done by the sand and the wind. Same with you. As a man now, look at a 41-year-old man, I look better from a distance because I look like a completeness. You know, I look more like a complete picture.
Right.
Versus get closer, you see the damage that has been done over the years. And, you know, some of these scars are my late teens, early 20s when I was partying too hard and, you know, I wasn't taking care of my family like I should have been.
Right, right.
So I had those times in between, you know, and then finally figured it out. Twins born, made it happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's kind of, at that point, it was like, okay, now I'm not just doing it for myself. So maybe there was even a higher expectation of me that I gave myself.
Right. You know, there was a lack of responsibility, you know, on my end, especially. Like, you know, I was able to get, I was a loser, you know, for a long time. And yet, you know, whatever, nobody was hurt by my loserness, you know, or nobody was neglected or anything like that. So it's easier for me.
No
bodies in my wake.
I think that there's an inherent quality in every person to, like, I don't know, when that responsibility hits you in the face, there is somewhat of a quality that you man up to it, you know, or woman up to it, I guess, in your case, or non-binary up to it. If
human up to it, Patrick.
Human up,
you
thank
go.
You.
Yeah.
Human.
That
still has man in it, but yeah.
So does woman.
Yeah. You human up to it, you know. It's like I've known so many guys, and I don't know if this ever ran through your head in your, you know, when you were like a teenager, like, I could never imagine having a kid. Could never imagine. But then you do, and you maybe the doctor hands you that baby, and you're like, it's like a switch flips in your head, and you're like, you know what? I think I can do this. I think I would die for this baby right now that
Jay
I
was,
for
Jay
10
was
seconds.
Handed two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Poor kids.
And I bet the instant you held them, you were like, I would die for them right now.
Yeah, totally.
Like, didn't even have names picked out for them yet.
Yeah.
It's, you might have.
No, yeah, we did. Yeah, it was... I don't know. I don't know what chemical change happens in your brain when you have offspring. I'm sure there's something because A, your weight changes, your body changes. Even as a male, your body changes. Now your body's like, okay, now you've produced these offspring. Now you don't have to look like you need to produce offspring anymore. So you can gain weight in certain areas. You know what I mean? You can lose the hair. You don't need that anymore.
The crying of a baby promotes like estrogen production in a man. Baby. You know,
I don't know.
Start leaking.
Yeah. Lactating a couple times.
You don't need it anymore. Throw the penis pump away.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what, I'm sure that has something to do with, you know, long-term biology that, you know, with our genetic makeup that has to do with why, you know, we do what we do, but
I would think it's more mental if I were to debate it, because for a man, I mean, like,
that's true.
I'll probably end up cutting this out, but you could please yourself until the end of what the climax that you're trying to reach, and then just jam it in, do that real quick, and then roll on down the way, and never even know you had a baby or anything like that, and you won't change. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take much on the man's part.
You're talking about the baby around. That would have probably.
Yeah, then mentally you'd be like, okay, all I care about is this baby. I don't care about bars or I got to sell the nice car, get the minivan. You know,
environmental stimuli kind of right then and there.
If the girl comes back 6 years later and says, "This is yours," and DNA proves it is
right.
What happens then?
Depends what kind of man you are.
Exactly.
If you're just like, oh, cool, you know, I've joined the freaking line. I've got a bunch of them behind me, you know, and I don't care about them. Or if you're that type of guy where you had no idea, then yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it is a little more mental.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that.
But once you're mentally raised, how you're raised and what kind of person you are, you know. But once you're mentally locked in, then, you know, obviously you're going to not let yourself go, but not care about more super things that matter will start to matter, and things that don't matter start to not matter.
Yeah, I don't have to look sexy for a mate anymore
because
I've mated and have offspring.
You can go out in freaking pajama pants and whatnot with Laura and it does not matter.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm digging.
I like that.
I'm digging.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. I mean, clearly, I don't dress like I want a mate either. I have no delusions.
Yeah, you do though. You change. Would you wear this to a first date?
No.
So you do change a little bit to appease the opposite sex a little.
Yeah. If I wanted to go on a first date, I'd have to go shopping. That's how bad it is right now.
We give you a hard time about being single because of that. I mean, I use my brother as an example. He's, you know, got another decade on you, right at another decade on you.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law too. She's got 2 decades on you, or not just about. I have found over living, you know, with my siblings, that these people are single because they are very, very rigid in the way they like things.
Right.
And don't give in much.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's there is being yourself, and then there's being yourself to a fault.
Right.
To where you're like, well, I'm me. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah, right.
And then that attitude alone will kick half the people out of the group that like you.
I'm less more like, oh, you're going to have to accept me. For whenever I start thinking about actually dating somebody, I'm like, I have to change everything. It's just easier to just eat a cheeseburger, jerk off, and go to bed. Like, it's just easier. It's just way easier, you know? And like, honestly, I think the main thing is like, I just don't want any. I don't want to have to put anybody through that. I gotta change like everything, you know, in order to do that. I've tried to just be like, you know what, I'll just be me, and it just does not work out.
Yeah, because of the whole like, well, you'll find somebody who'll accept your faults and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to date them.
I was gonna say, you might find somebody just as cynical at life as you.
Yeah,
you
know, maybe. I need some happiness in my life.
My mom said one of the craziest, and you may be able to identify with this, one of the craziest things for her getting into a relationship was, after being single, was the fact that she went from not having to check in or not having to account for her time to having to let somebody know where she is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At all times. She said that was a big change for her.
That's a big one for
sure.
Yeah. And I don't like texting. I'm not like a back and forth, always texting. Ooh, no. And that's a rough one. That's a new one. You gotta be. I think you and Laura, I see you guys talking a little bit, but you guys were not raised like that too.
Right.
Because you didn't have that. You know, from the moment I was getting into serious relationships, the phones were around.
True.
So it was.
That's, yeah.
Right. You had got to be texting always, you know? And I, oh man, nothing pisses me off more than that. I'm like burping. Just
you good? All right, that burger was good earlier. Yeah, happy birthday, Patrick, again.
Yeah, Patrick's burger.
Hey, it's not his birthday today,
yeah.
But we're getting to enjoy the spoils of his birthday today.
That's right. I do it for you guys.
Yeah. That's why the second half of this podcast is feeling a little less.
we've slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, usually we're up and ready to go, and this one is yawn, then you yawn, then I yawn, then you... Well, at least we're not all yawning into the mic at the same time.
when it comes to significant others, I'm not going to talk about babies, just significant others. Just if I believe that I have to go into it wanting to make sure Laura's life is better than mine. That's how I had to see it going into it.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going into it for selfish reasons. Mm. I think she's going to make my life better. That's why I want her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's key, because if no matter what the relationship, no matter what, if you think, because I want to on the morning show, I don't walk into the show thinking these mofros better do everything I want to make my life better.
Right, right.
I walk in thinking, what can I do? I say hi to Patrick almost the same way every day, because that's our little greet.
Yeah.
Say hi to you almost the same way every morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kind of I scan the situation, see what's going on, and see if there's anything I can do.
Right.
If you're being quiet and standoffish, I know it may not be the best morning for him. I just give him a space. We have done plenty of mornings where we sit here and not said a word to each other.
Yeah.
And then
I'm just going to flip you off when I see you tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. see what reaction
I'm too
you
predictable.
Get out of
yeah.
I love it. See, and maybe maybe that's one of my faults. I love routine.
Right.
Because, it's not a fear as much as it's an expectation that I'll probably have a form of Alzheimer, whether it's dementia or something. So I'm kind of building up to that. So if my day is a routine, it'll be a lot less noticeable from y'all. Seriously. Y'all won't know that I'm out of my brain for
years.
It's
too late, man. Yeah. We talk about it. Jay's losing it, man.
Exactly. every day, God.
And
you hear what he said?
It's interesting you said that. I guess the main reason I've broken up with all the past relationships is because I was like, I'm not going to make your... Like, I'm poison to you.
You said that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not going to make your life any better. And you're definitely not going to make mine any better. So...
I mean, that you could. There are two ways you could look at that. You're either a really good dude, I mean, just a great human being, because you don't want to, you see that truly,
mm-hmm.
or you use that as an excuse to martyr yourself away from the relationship. You're like, I don't like you, but it's me. It's not you. You know what I'm saying?
I imagine some women might take it as kind of pompous and selfish by saying that, because then they're like, you think I'm not strong enough person that I can. That I can deal with your bullshit and get over it. I'm not strong enough to be with you.
I would just say to that, like, why would you? Like, why put yourself through that?
Why climb Mount Everest?
That's right.
Because it's there, man.
This is the tallest mountain, baby.
Because I can.
That's right. Well, I do this podcast because I can, and because you guys are sitting here wanting me to do it. So shout out, like, subscribe, do all that crap.
Man. regrettablejtp@gmail.com is the place where you can submit feedback. I will take it. I haven't gotten one, so trust. You send me something, man, you get me gizmoed out.
What's the email again?
regrettablejtp@gmail.com.
You send us an email that says, you dudes suck. And we'll give you a freaking prize.
Yeah.
We're going to read it. Send us a good one, trashing us. We're going to read it for the next one.
Of course. Absolutely. So much fun. Yeah.
Yes. So, I'm looking forward to the interaction with the people for the next, you know what I mean? Us three to talk about it every time.
Like, all right, you were just about to take a picture of your whatever you were going to eat. Don't do that. Formulate a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
Write it down on a piece of paper if you have to.
You're insulting our listener.
Whatever it takes. All right.
Send it with the picture of food. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the bottle of vodka down. Set the crack pipe down.
Yeah.
Take a second and again, formulate a couple of thoughts. Look, a sentence is not that hard to put together.
Yeah.
And send it to us. Okay.
Respond to us. We're three neckbeards, private messaging a very very beautiful woman right now. Yeah.
Like, well, fine then. You suck. Yeah. I hate you.
Well, I didn't want to hear from you anyway, fat cow. Well, there's hundreds of people listening to us, and I'm like, somebody got
one. You gotta have an opinion.
Maybe bangs,
blow your head off.
Maybe let's say 200. Maybe that 200 is the core people that absolutely love our show. But they don't really care. They're just getting the download. They don't actually listen.
Right.
they just automatically got the download.
Yeah, yeah. I'm scared of that. No.
We may have 20 full-time listeners. And if that's the case, shout out to you 20.
Yeah, to you 20. Send a message. RegrettableJTP@gmail.com. Find the regrettables across the social medias. It's regret. You'll find it. Just
we
regrettable
share it
thing.
Like our personal pages. Yeah. And we share it amongst.
That's right. Tyler Massey, Jay Wesley Lindley. We got KDQN is a great one. KDQN921. That's the radio station. We're all on there. You send a message there, we'll take it. So a little bit of feedback would be nice, and you might win yourself something. So there you go.
What was it again? A gizmo?
A gizmo. I want to give away a gizmo or a whatchamacallit. Dude, it could be a light bulb that's burnt out, or it could be a smashed penny, or who knows?
All right, so, now who knows what a gizmo is? One of the gizmos will absolutely be a burnt light bulb, and we'll sign it, and it'll have regrettable JTP on it.
Yeah. Totally. And then you can smoke crack out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're a cracky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which most of our listeners probably. I imagine he'd have to smoke some crack to find this entertaining.
A little messed up. Yeah, they turn it on two times. And
If they weren't before, they are now.
Yeah.
Try it that way.
That's right. All right, boys. Well, what do you think?
I'm done, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Stuff.
Sounds good.
So much more left to talk about.
I know.
Always.
Contact your representative and let them know I-49 or something. Oh, no, get rid of the pennies. That's what it was. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Contact
I knew there was something.
Your representatives.
Get rid of the pennies.
And tell them we want the pennies gone, people.
We got to contact our representative and figure out why he bumped us.
Exactly. Oh, that's right. So, he must have had something better to do. Probably another siege on the White House or something.
Grab your sword, sir.
Yeah.
Hunga!
All right, y'all. Regrettable Podcast, episode 14, into books.
Peace.
Bye.